Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. If it has a score, we cover it more. From football to lacrosse, hockey to baseball, we've got what you want. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show here on a holiday Monday. The boss has the day off. Rod is away, so we're here. I'm Darren DuPont. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and live audio feed, rodpeterson.com, as we welcome you inside the bunker on this Monday. Good evening, Norway. Is it a holiday in Norway, Clark?
Not sure. I'd have to look into that.
Producer Clark is alongside. This is his warm-up debut as you get a chance to be here on the Rod Peterson Show. This is fun.
Yeah, I haven't been out here this early. It's kind of weird to not be in that room and being in this room. It's a little bit different.
We're taking over today.
A little bit different. I don't hate it.
Episode number 46 of the Rod Peterson Show. Famous number 46. I got Andy Pettit, the Hall of Famer and former Yankee, and Jorgen Hughes of the Saskatchewan Roughriders. He is one of the all-time good guys. I know you got a few. We'll get to those as we move through the show. But want to give you an idea of what we are doing here throughout the program this morning. We're welcoming your comments in on the Facebook feed, up on the Facebook wall, so you can join us there. And we're going to be in there, and I think Rod is going to be in there at times, jumping in to the comments. So back with you and welcoming in your famous number 46s on the comment feed and your thoughts from the weekend on a holiday Monday. And if you still have thoughts from way back on Thursday on the Rider game, welcoming those comments in. One thing I did want to get to, actually, and this came up at our Rider tailgate party on Thursday, ahead of Thursday night football at the Canadian Armed Forces Rider tailgate where we hang out. Somebody was talking about our trip to Houston, and we're going to Houston in December from the 5th to the 10th, and we want you to be there with us. RodPeterson.com/trip. RodPeterson.com/trip to get all the information, fill it out, and remember that you can join us on the trip. The price is there, everything else. Or if you want just the land package, the hotels, the games, the joining us there, you can book your own flights. If you're coming from Winnipeg or Calgary or anywhere else, or you maybe can't make the first day, or you want to fly with your points because you built up enough air miles, you can do that too. But filling out the form at rodpeterson.com/trip will get you in contact. Let them know what you're looking to do. And I know some people want to go as a single, and the price for single occupancy does go up. It is more expensive than double occupancy. Get in the Facebook feed now, and maybe it's not a personal ad, but start letting us know, hey, anybody want to join me? It's going to be cheaper if we go together.
Single white female, single white male, looking for partner, looking for love.
SWF.
Maybe this is where you find your soulmate. This could be the trip of a lifetime right here.
Maybe.
You never know.
Okay, so rodpeterson.com/trip and get in the Facebook feed. I'm talking to you. You know who it was. We were talking at the tailgate party. Get in there and start finding somebody to come on the trip with, because it's going to be fun. Don Nar, Cease, George Cortez. I'm going to get Danny Barrett down there as well. Rob Vanstone's coming from the Regina Leader Post, hoping to get Wes Cates to join us down there. It's going to be fun. More Rider alumni joining us in Houston December 5th to the 10th, and it is the cheapest trip out there right now, the only one under $2,000.
Yeah, cheap is one way to say it. I would say inexpensive, because the trip itself is extremely valuable. It's not it's just like a cheap trip that you're just going on because you have a few bucks. This is there's a lot packed into this trip for the price that it's coming in at.
Yeah, the value. The value of being on that trip is cool.
Exactly.
It's very, very cool. I know you can almost find cheap flights and you can find cheap hotels and that kind of stuff, but this is a cool experience. So enough selling the trip this morning. This is a best of the Rod Peterson Show episode with me and Clark. We are going to give you 8 of the best moments from 45 episodes. It's only been 45 episodes, and we really had to work to pare this down to kind of the best 8. We're not doing a countdown today, but it is the best 8 clips, and that's what's exciting. What's your favorite part of the first 45 episodes? Maybe not a clip, but do you have a favorite, like, what do you, I guess, What are your thoughts on 45 episodes?
Yeah, it seems like it's been a lot more. That's been one thing that it's been crazy that we've only been going for 45. But at the same time, they've flown by. And I think the one that we're going to play first, because I know what the list is, the one that we're going to play first was interesting.
That interesting first, is fun is one way to put it.
The first week of the show was kind of just chaos. And for me, being in my role as the producer, booking all the guests and making sure that we have enough people to fill the time and know what topics we're going to be talking about, I reached out to some people that I knew and that Rod was comfortable with, and it kind of lined up that my connections with the Regina Pats, we had Phil Andrews, he came in, and he was very familiar with our other guest, Kelly Rempel. They know each other from a long time ago. Obviously, they have very good relationships with Rod. So the chemistry was already there, and it kind of just led to something that was a little crazy. And for those who watched during the first week of the show, they know what we're talking about. But yeah, I'll let you cue it up a little bit more if you'd like.
Yeah, I think we're going to do that after a break.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's going to be fun getting into all of these moments from 45 episodes. Man, our team has been awesome. It continues to grow, too. The social media following has been awesome. Find us at Rod Peterson Show on Twitter, at The Rod Peterson Show. I think just about everywhere else, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. So that's really cool. And we continue to turn over amazing guests. I don't know what your secret sauce is for getting the guests on the show, Clark. But when you're booking the guests, I mean, it has been first class. I know I said to you at the beginning, I said, you know, you were mentioning guests, some people here, there. I'm like, only eight. We don't have room for everybody, but A-list guests is important. And they all have been A-list guests. It's been unbelievable, the people that have come in this chair. So that is really cool. Our Prairie Mobile text line is 840-8777. If we don't get to the text today, we will get to them tomorrow. But fill the phone with text. Rod loves to show up with text tomorrow. You can text Rod, 840-8777. He'll read them all tomorrow when he gets back in to work, when he gets back from the holiday or the weekend. So 840-8777 for the Prairie Mobile text line. Blow it up, and he'll see him in the morning.
Yeah, I can see his face for sure when he comes in here on Tuesday morning, and just long list of text messages from everybody who was watching on the Monday show. I think it'd be awesome.
So that, yes.
Blow up his phone for sure.
That's the job today. 840-8777. Put it in your contacts, the Prairie Mobile text line. And I believe at some point that will be the Prairie Mobile, or it will be the phone in line too. We might have the same number. So you'll have that opportunity. Yeah, that's it. Let's get out of here, and let's get to the best of the Rod Peterson Show on the other side of the break. Episode 46 here on the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live, rodpeterson.com. And as Rod says, the podcasts, we're just going to say, they're everywhere.
Employee pricing is back.
Yeah, it's my favorite time of the year.
You pay what I pay.
We get amazing discounts when we buy a car.
And this month, you can too.
Car, truck, SUV, doesn't matter.
You pay what we pay.
Get savings up to $19,000 on new Ford F-150s. They're starting as low as $32,999 plus tax, and no one has more of them than Capital Ford.
It's like you work here,
but you don't have to.
You pay what we pay.
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop staffed by PGA of Canada professionals is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Does Lynch make an appearance in the Best of the Rod Peterson Show?
I think he's in there a couple of times.
Best of the Rod Peterson Show. This is also Best of the Week. Airs every weekend on LTD Radio. So welcome to our listeners on LTD Radio. I'm Darren DuPont alongside producer Clark here in the bunker for the Rod Peterson Show, episode 46, Best of the Week show on LTD Radio and here on Facebook Live. Special edition of the program coming to you today. So let's get right into the clips. You teed this up a little bit.
Yeah.
Without teasing too much, how much fun was this early on in the infancy of the Rod Peterson Show?
So yeah, this was a ton of fun. Now, if I think I'm not mistaken in saying that this might have been director Jordan's first episode.
Oh.
So this was the one we had a bunch of guys in the back room working on this show during the first week just to kind of make sure everything went well and happened okay. And like I said earlier, we had a couple guys in here who already had a ton of built-in chemistry, and the conversation took a turn for the better. It was hilarious. We were cracking up, losing our minds. You can hear. So we have a technical producer, Ryan. He's away with on paternity leave at the moment, you can call it. He just had a baby. Congrats, Ryan. I know you're watching. You can hear him in the background laughing. He almost fell out of his chair. Paul was over here laughing. Jordan and I were dying in the background. I think I heard you in your office probably losing it a little bit. So that was probably the best part of it. It was just that it was kind of a moment where we all just kind of lost our minds and everything just kind of went wild for a few minutes. With Kelly Rempel, Phil Andrews, Rod talking about Rod's old job compared to this one. It was just a blast. And
I can't wait to see it again here right away. Because I remember like it was yesterday. I was sitting on the floor rolling around literally because I was laughing so hard. And you'll see Kelly and Phil having a great time. All right, Jordan, roll the clip.
Cliffy Mapes, who you guys know well.
Oh, yeah.
And as a matter of fact, I've said this, Cliff is one of the top sports marketing people in Western Canada, if not all of Canada. He was winning all those marketing awards with the Pats when the team was terrible. If he could bring in all that money marketing-wise with that, what was on the ice, this guy knows what he's doing.
Good human being, too.
He's a phenomenal human being. And Cliffy's watching from his palatial estate in Saskatoon this morning, I'm sure. So,
Would you yell at him if he was here?
Darn right you would.
Yeah,
probably. I guess if he was talking on the set,
I want to tell you an interesting story. So when they came to me, IKS Media and DuPont Media, about this concept of this show, I'm like, I don't know if it'll work. So they said, no, we got a presentation. Come on in. We're going to give it to you. Cliffy led the presentation. There's Paul, the owner, sitting there. He's looking at me like, get the story right. Cliffy sold me on me. And part of it is the sales strategy. Cliff's like, I've wanted to do this with the teams that I've worked with for years, where a sponsor can be part of the program, i.e. the video that he showed me was news conferences for a team where the sponsor sitting at the podium beside the player or the GM or whatever, or sit in a live studio audience, or attend games with me, Rider games, Pats games, Warrior games, Rush games, whatever. Why not? I don't mind whoring myself out to sponsors. I've been whoring it out for another pimp for 25 years. Now I'm the whore and the pimp. That's where the money is.
And you get to keep some of it.
I get to keep a portion of it. Before I got none. Is that fair?
No, it's more than fair.
Do you feel violated?
You're an entrepreneur.
I'm sleeping great.
You're it's almost like you're a junior entrepreneur with this project, whereas before, you know, you were basically just
part of a number.
That's right.
You're high price now too.
I'm a high price.
Yeah, yeah. Like there's
call
girl. You're not walking down the street taking anything.
You gotta have me. Yeah, I'm not in the phone book.
No.
No, you've raised
I need to
the
stop.
Bar.
I'm
you've
ra- I
you've raised the
here.
Bar, and you know what? The greatest thing is now young entrepreneurs could listen to them. Somebody with dignity, respect, call themselves a whore, right. And feel better about themselves.
It's all metaphors, of course, but check the Facebook feed.
What? Metaphor? I thought we were being serious.
Xander, man, I keep liking that show more and more every day. By the way, great guests all day, every day. Keep it up, Roddy. From Brooke in BC, that was pure gold. From Craig Monroe, hashtag Rod's Rant. From Kyle Halverson, the best. From Pam, watching out in Fort Capel. Too funny. So
I could see, you know how you have those little two-minute YouTube clips? On YouTube, you'll bring up YouTube, and then it'll say Rod's rant on calling himself a whore.
What? Has it been posted yet, Clark? It was a beauty, Clark.
It's hard out here for a pimp.
Okay. From Andrew, I'm dying. Hashtag Rod's a pimp.
When you're trying to get that money
pimping
for the rent.
Easy. Yeah, no. Exactly.
Are you a female high school dropout between the age of 16 and 25? Are you tired of doors being slammed in your face when you apply for a job?
Whoa.
Are you tired of laying in bed all day with nothing to do? You never
Why am
need
I snorting?
How did we get here? I don't remember.
The guy asked. It was Cliff's idea.
Cliff's fault.
Hashtag blame yes. Cliff. Head to Rod Peterson.
I honestly can't remember how we did that.
Head to rodpeterson.com to see the podcast, Rod's blog, fault. And other exclusive content. On the road... Listen to the live audio stream at rodpeterson.com. Are you guys ready for commercial back there? Because I know I am. I got to catch my breath.
Your cheekbones are hurting.
If you want to sponsor this show.
Oh, God, who wouldn't?
Who wouldn't? Check the... What's the poll?
Yes, Shay, you're
the
right.
Are we off the rails hashtag. Today? Hashtag blame Cliff. Craig Monroe, Kelly's on fire. Keep it going. From Kyle, I can't breathe.
Right now, somewhere there's a CEO of one of the corporate, the major, like SaaS Power or something, going, how do we get in on this? Bring all the marketing. We're having a meeting in 10 minutes. We got to allocate 10 or 15 grand to this show.
Or Mark Zuckerberg sitting at the Facebook offices saying, get him off the air.
Exactly. Everybody in their works, like, turn it down. We're going to get fired.
Oh, from Todd on Facebook, Rod, the middle-aged white boy. Be straight, pimping, yo. It's day four.
This is outstanding.
Somebody call a tow truck. We got to get out of the ditch.
Unbelievable stuff. If you can believe it, only episode number four back on June the 6th. Wow, I still have tears every time I watch that. I watch that over and over again. I probably watched it a dozen times. I laugh every single time. From that, was fun. All the way, let's fast forward to July the 10th, episode 28. We had Jimmy Schimmel from Hobo Donuts right here on the chair. That was fun. That spawned a donut eating contest that is coming soon. Well, I don't know if we've teased enough of that yet, but it's coming soon. A donut eating contest with Hobo Donuts, and Jimmy Schimmel joined us in the bunker.
So anyways, we have a special guest. This is a little off the board from what I normally do. I don't know how we introduce Jimmy Schimmel from Hobo Donuts. Jimmy, listen, Darren, do you want to handle this?
I mean, sure. I guess I was talking about it on the show the other day. Now, you don't have a store, right, yet?
No, not yet.
I was talking about this to myself. I say don't ever have a store.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Because
You're like the food truck of donuts?
He's not even the food truck of donuts.
We're the pop-up of donuts.
Okay.
So we're a pop-up business. So we've never really reached out to businesses. From like day one, they've all just reached out to me and was like, hey, we love your branding. We love what you're doing. Do you want to come to our store and sell your donuts?
Right.
And I'm just like...
So sure. This all came up. We got interrupted on this. Yours and so we were talking last week about Joey Chestnut, the 71 hot dogs that he pounded to win the Nathan's hot dog contest in the States on July 4th. And I love hot dogs, but I couldn't do 71 of them. But donuts, I'm a huge fan of. Almost too much.
Mm-hmm.
But I preach moderation. Limit to one or two donuts a day. And then this came up, the prospect of a donut eating contest. And yours and my mutual friend, this is the point that I'm getting to, Jared Lacoste, put you on to what we were talking about. So pick it up from there if you don't mind.
Yeah, so he just reached out to me. He was like, hey, you're getting these shout outs on the Rod Peterson show. And I'm like, sweet. I didn't have to pay them to shout me out.
Not at all.
And so I reached out. I'm just like, hey, heard you guys talking about a donut eating contest. Let's make it happen. So I brought some donuts here. I don't think we're going to do the contest today, but hopefully soon. I'd like to see you guys eat a dozen donuts in like 3 minutes.
Right. I need to psych myself up. Yeah. That's the only reason
mentally
why I'm doing
prepare
it today. Because you know Joey Chestnut does do that. He mentally prepares himself. He physically prepares himself. I would have to do the same thing with donuts.
I think it'd be more, you know, with the pot of coffee that we constantly, you know, refill during the show. How many could we eat from the start of the show to the end of the show? Just
maybe
casually, without even thinking about it, right? Like,
so I'm in my mid 30s now. When I on my 30th birthday, I was in the States. I was in Oklahoma doing some training and stuff like that. And there was a Krispy Kreme donuts right across the street.
So good,
from me. So good.
Oh yeah. So is this how it started? Is this your story?
Well, my story goes back like 12 years.
Right?
Love donuts. but I actually challenged myself to eat 30 on my 30. So I challenged
in a day?
In one 24-hour period. So, you know, luck would have it. There was a Krispy Kreme shop right across the street from our hotel. I bought two boxes of donuts, and I was just pounding them back. And then I think I made it to 24 before I had to tap out. And I'm just like, man, that's in a day.
And Hobo Donuts wasn't even a thing yet?
Wasn't even a thing yet. It wasn't even a blip on the radar.
Krispy Kreme, by the way, they're rolling them right off the assembly line right in front of you. Like, they're almost the mother load.
Yeah.
Right. My personal favorite in America is Dunkin' Donuts. That's where I always go. But
we should play that game. I've never had a Dunkin' Donut.
You haven't lived.
I haven't, apparently.
Well, as a matter of fact, Strawberry Frosted is my favorite. That is my go-to, and that's what you brought in with Hobo Donuts this morning.
We brought the Homer. It's actually a Mexican vanilla donut.
It looks great to me.
So this is a fan favor.
Favorite.
Fan fave. We actually, in March, did our own version of March Madness, where we took all the flavors that we'd done. Well, not all the flavors, but I think 36 flavors.
Oh, they can see them. There we go. Just fine, yeah.
We took like 36 flavors, however many it was, and we pinned them all against each other. So every day it was like a head-to-head.
A bracket.
Yeah.
And our social Instagram account got to vote, and we had crazy engagement. There was like, I think, 4,000 people voting for their favorite, and this is the donut that won.
Well, it's funny because over the years and all my years of sports talk, we've done a lot of shows from sports bars, restaurants, stadiums, obviously. But there was one restaurant in Regina where I had two or three former pro football players on the panel with me doing what we're doing right now.
Right.
And right in the middle of the show, one of the Greek restaurateurs, and I married a Greek. This is not an anti-Greek rant. Right in the middle. Welcome to my restaurant, guys. Here you go. And he drops a platter of wings, ribs, onion rings, like the whole thing. And what do football players do? Dive right in.
Done.
Right in the middle of the show. So when this concept of a donut eating contest came up from Hobo Donuts, I'm like, I'm having flashbacks. I'm like, yes, I want to do it, but no, it'll be the ruination of this show because guys will be eating donuts in the middle of it. So I'm thinking, We're going to find a way of doing this probably outside hours and then cutting it into a highlight package to air on the show.
Yeah.
How does that sound?
That sounds great.
But we're going to need a venue, probably some sponsors. Cliffy, are you watching today in PA?
We got
the donut eating contest, and maybe we should invite some celebrities in.
Let's do it.
Guys that could really... Have you done contests?
No.
So you've done 24 yourself at Krispy Kreme.
Yeah.
This would be the first.
This would be the first. A hobo first.
You got to have some people that show up every day or every week. Oh, regulars in your lineup,
right? We have our
right?
regulars. Yeah.
Do you?
We do. Deb, she gets on the pre-orders. We do pre-orders on Mondays. Debbie always gets in. So I'll be seeing her on Thursday.
Okay, well, we got our first contestant already, Amanda Ruler, writing in.
Perfect.
Amanda is a good friend of ours, actually.
She's the best.
One of our brand ambassadors.
She's outstanding.
She's great. We love it. We love it.
And I also think we should put her in because she's only about 5'4".
Yep.
How many donuts could she possibly eat?
We'll find out. It's cool because, you know, the way you've built this thing with social media and stuff, you've kind of done it the right way, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, how did you kind of get this thing started?
Apparently. Yeah. I mean, I don't think anything's chance. I think everything happens for a reason. And I started like every other startup. You know, I had a personal Facebook account and I just invited all of my friends to get connected. There's that little button that says connect your Facebook. And that's what I did. And then word of mouth just kept going and businesses started inviting us to pop-ups. And back then, pop-up, it wasn't a thing,
right?
And so nobody knew what it was. I didn't know what it was. And so the business had to explain to me what a pop-up shop was. And so I was like, sure, I'll give it a try. You know, and I made 3 trays of donuts and took me like 6 hours to sell, 60 donuts? And now, I mean, that was two and a half years ago. And today, I mean, yesterday we sold 100 donuts in 20 minutes.
Whoa. Yeah. But here's the thing, real quickly. Yeah. The second you walked in here, when the guy said Jimmy Schimmel, I'm like, I can't place him. And then the second I saw you, we've met, been around each other. You're a cool guy, clearly. You got everything. This all works. So there's the branding and the marketing. But you can't sell a bad product. Obviously, it's an outstanding donut.
Yeah.
So what's your secret on that?
Well, I can't tell you my secrets.
Okay.
I can't tell
you're like
I can't tell you my secrets.
The colonel over here.
But the thing about it
is, how would you describe why it's so popular then? Maybe not what you're putting in it. I'm not asking for your 11 herbs and spices.
Everything I do is handmade fresh that day. The boxes that I brought you guys today are still hot, you know. So they're not brought in, they're not frozen. I use all like natural ingredients. So these are the freshest donuts in the city right now.
The ones on this table?
The ones on this table, yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, I can see you drooling.
So I really do
love
donuts.
But here's the thing for me. I mean, you've done everything really, really well in the sense that you could have fired up a big shop and tried to sell 1,000 donuts and done it that way and went really big and not been able to sustain a real high quality in every area of your business. But you keep it simple, right? Mm-hmm. You put really great donuts together. You've created, you know, you got what, 1 or 2 nice pop-up banners that are perfect, but one table with a cloth, and that's it. Yeah. But every little thing is done really well, and you create demand, right?
Yeah.
You can't just walk into a hobo donut store anytime I want and get a donut like you can at Tim Hortons. You have to be at the pop-up. I went once. I had seen the social media, and you put it on Instagram, and you put the schedule. I'm going to be here Monday at this time, and here Tuesday at this time. And you're like, okay. So I get ready. I go down with my sister and I walk in the door about, you're supposed to be there at 2 o'clock and it's like 20 to two. I open the door and the place is jammed and I'm like, I'm not getting a donut today. So I literally opened the door, shut the door, turned around, went home.
I think I remember seeing you open the door and no.
I remember you telling me about that.
I was like, no. So
I remember you
made plans the next day. We went an hour and a half before you're supposed to be there. We're sitting having coffee. Nobody's there. But like an hour before you're supposed to be there, people start lining up. I don't even know where you're setting up. You're not even in there yet. And so I'm like, I guess we got to get in line. And these aren't like what you would think are your traditional donut eating crowd. Like rockets in the line and like young
what's that
people,
supposed to mean?
Young people, old people, thin people, big people, everybody.
Cops.
Everybody.
Cops.
Yeah, it's not cops.
It's great.
It's not like, it's amazing. And we're, and everyone's like just waiting in line. And I'm like, I don't know what's supposed to happen next. It's like you're waiting at a rock concert.
The,
and then you roll up in your car. Yeah. And everyone's like, gets excited.
Clark is telling me a couple of things. One, the Facebook feed has just blown up. on the donut topic. Amanda Ruler clarifying she's 5'0". Even better, you're just right for the party. How many donuts could you possibly eat, Amanda? So she's in. John Bolke saying, eat one, Rod. Hey, by the way, I don't bend to peer pressure, John. That's how I got in the role that I'm in. That don't work anymore. I might eat one after the break when Simon Fudge joins us, our soccer aficionado. And three, Clark is saying, how about a tailgate party donut contest at our Canadian Armed Forces Regina Rifles tailgate party?
Could we make that a pop-up?
Why not?
Maybe.
That would be amazing. Let's see.
I feel,
shoot me the date.
This is like a Seinfeld episode. We've discovered plutonium by accident this morning.
Every Rider home game.
Every Rider.
We're down at the Armory.
Well, we're down every Rider
home
game.
So pick one.
Pick one. Labor Day?
Oh,
whatever. Who knows?
That'd be huge.
Labor Day would be unbelievable.
Would be big. Well, Jimmy, thank you. I feel like this is the start of a beautiful relationship.
I think so.
Thanks for bringing in the donuts and all that you do and being a Regina success story.
Hey, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Hit the like, hit the subscribe button. Isn't that what
yes,
you do?
Yes, that's what we do.
Like and subscribe. Follow everybody, because that's what you do. Also, I wanna say, Greg Moore, I am a Dodgers fan.
Oh, you saw that on the feed.
I did. I saw that on the feed.
It's not just for show.
No, okay. I'm actually, me and my wife are going to New York over my birthday just to celebrate some of the successes. She just graduated.
Business is booming.
We're going to a Mets and a Dodgers game. So on my actual birthday. So Greg Moore, there you go.
You know how to celebrate. Do it upright. All right, appreciate it. Hobo donuts. It's a thing you're going to be hearing a lot more.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work. Follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Okay.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Darren DuPont in for Rod Peterson on this holiday for the boss. Prairie Mobile text line is open, though, 840-8777. That's 306 for out-of-province listeners and viewers. 306-840-8777. Blow up the text line so Rod can read them all tomorrow morning when he gets into the chair. I'm Darren DuPont. He's producer Clark. I'm not doing a peanut butter and jelly thing or a Jekyll and Hyde. Has he done Jekyll and Hyde? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Episode... What is it, 46?
46 today.
Jorgen Hughes, Andy Pettit, and yours in here. Actually, great moment to get your favorite 46s, yeah. Clark.
So Rod always gets mad at me because I always pick out the Maple Leafs. But I looked again today, and there's quite a good list. David Brohl. Do you remember David Brohl?
Yep.
He was part of that whole like Colton Orr, Fraser McLaren, fourth line type time.
Polak is the only one I'm thinking
of. So Roman Polak is like the... probably the best one. I mean, it's number 46. There's not not too many good number 46s.
Not in high demand.
No. Tobias Lindbergh wore it for a few games, if anyone remembers him. And there's a couple other ones, but Roman Polak is my
46. Were the couple others? Do you have them?
I do. If you give me 2 seconds, I'll look it up. I have it up on my phone. So I go to hockeyreference.com. If you go to the hockeyreference.com, they have every number for every team. You just type.
You're giving away your cheat codes.
Oh yeah, you got to. Joey Crabbe from 2011,
yes!
2012.
Joey Crabbe. He would be at the high on my list.
He was a potential top six forward that never panned out.
True.
David Brohl, Tobias Lindbergh, Ben Andres from 2006.
Okay.
And that's all I got. Cause I said, 46 isn't. It's not a hockey number necessarily.
From 46 to 30, episode 30, back on July the 12th, as we are in this Best of the Rod Peterson Show and Best of the Week show on LTD Radio. I'm Darren DuPont again. He's producer Clark. And back on July the 12th, episode 30, we had Craig McMorris, one half of the famous McMorris brothers, in studio. And that was fun. We learned, among other things, about sex ed. That was funny. Let's roll Craig McMorris now here on the Best of the RP Show.
As if it already hasn't been enough fun, it's going to be even more fun. Or maybe fun in another direction here on this Friday morning on the Rod Peterson Show. We are in the bunker in a field in Western Canada. That's all you need to know. And I want to thank the great guests on the program today already. Ray Jacobs, Brother Jake, who was just in here. Darian Durant, Chris Getzlaff, John Frenzy. And Darren DuPont rejoins us in the bunker. We're pleased to be joined by Craig McMorris, professional snowboarder, sports broadcaster, and the better looking of the McMorris boys.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to take that. I'm going to run with it. That's a very nice compliment. Thank you, Rod. I don't fill out this chair quite as good as Big Jake's, Brother Jacobs.
How ripped is he?
His poor legs were just sucked in here. I feel like a shrimp right now, if I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. But thanks for having me on the program. It's a pleasure to be here.
Craig, I'm going to tell you something about yourself, your family that you may not know, but you should.
Okay.
It's your dad's birthday today.
It is my dad's birthday.
Did you know that?
I did. I gave him a hug, high five, heading out to the lake after this, and we're going to have celebrations and all that kind of stuff. We hosted Grandma's 86th birthday out there, so our mom is exhausted and doesn't want to host, but we're bringing out a bunch of people and going to do it all over again, right?
It came up in my Facebook feed this morning. Don McMorris' birthday today, because you know he's something of a legend. In Milestone, Saskatchewan. He was my driver's ed instructor. He was a star with the Milestone Flyers. Don, when he was about your age, it was a big deal. And, of course, went on to be our MLA, yep. Milestone Indian Head, and all the rest. Now, this farmer look you got going on, is that just for Country Thunder, or is that everyday look for Craig McMorris?
This is a necessity look. So I flew in from Vancouver. I only had one change of clothes because I was down in Vancouver doing a bunch of stuff. I hosted a conference down there, and I flew here, and everything in my closet was just this. So
Wranglers?
Wranglers, button-down shirt, and I'm comfortable in it.
Put the boots up on the table. There you go. See?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, here we go. Now we're ready. Now I'm having fun. Now we're relaxed.
You make yourself at home. Well, that's the... You found out very quickly what we're doing here.
Yep.
As Clark, our producer, says, because you wanted to know if you should take that hat off. We're like, if you're going to wear the hat out the door, wear the hat in the studio. Be yourself. Hence my Regina Pats golf shirt that I picked up yesterday. And thanks for the discount, Crystal, in the Pats store.
It looks great, by the way.
Yeah, I love it. The Pats, obviously my favorite team. But Red Bull... You guys are big with Red Bull, aren't you?
We are.
Really big.
We are, because they have supported us, Mark and myself, for our entire career. You know, they've done so much good for us. They have rehabbed us back from broken legs and broken bodies and all that kind of stuff and invested in us. And we've invested in them, and they have supported every single one of our foundation galas and softball tournaments. So they have been with us since day one. I like to call them my ride or dies. You know, they're going to stick it out to the end.
I love it. Anyway, we all need those.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, my first, interaction with Mark was a few years ago at the Red Bull sponsored Wings for Life, the World Run in Saskatoon, which was super cool. The run they have all over the world, but they all start at the same time. And you're racing against that catcher car, or whatever, that chases you down. And I think it was like 2 or 3 a.m. that we were running. It was pretty neat. I don't know if you were at that one or not.
I was. Okay. It started at 3 a.m, but I had a sprained ankle, but that was the first one that Red Bull had done. So they put everything into it. Every athlete is going to run, going to do all these things. I was the first one to be caught by the catcher car. I made it 500 meters, and I think the winner made it like 2 marathons. He ran 2 marathons, so I was last. He was first, and it was at 3 a.m. because obviously every single race starts at the same time. The headquarters for Red Bull is in Austria, so they wanted to start at noon in Austria and then obviously work back from there everywhere else. That was a cool event. Still going.
Actually. Yeah, is it?
Yeah.
This is Craig McMorris in studio for those online-only listeners that can't see who we've got on the air today. You and your brother making this province so proud, putting us on the map worldwide. We think about it all the time, how proud of you both that we are. What is life like for a professional snowboarder, particularly when it's 31 degrees and sunny like today? When there's no snow on the ground, what are you guys doing?
Life is nice right now. I do love snowboarding, but it was a very long winter. And when it's your job, it's really fun. But there's also huge parts of it where it's really gnarly and scary, and you have to, you know, push yourself and push what people think the sport should be at and all that kind of stuff. So it's nice to take a little break in the summer, come out to the cottage, you know, see everybody, see all the friends you grew up with and stuff like that, and have a good time, and then obviously do cool shows like this.
Where are you guys at? Echo Lake?
Echo Lake, yep.
That's what I
thought. Echo Lake, yep. We went for a couple wakeboards the other day. I did a slalom water ski, and I haven't done that in a long time. Upper body, not that good. Lower body, great. I think my arms are going to fall off right now, gentlemen.
I think you're above average upper body strength, I would suggest. But of all these, because I'll be honest, extreme sports, so out of the realm of what I'm used to. Mm-hmm. I often say I speak Canada's two official sports languages, hockey and football. Anything other than that, I got a bit of a, I mean, I can talk, I can hold my own in baseball, I'm learning lacrosse, basketball, yes. Extreme sports, I don't know much about it. So let me ask you this, when you do these media events, what's the question you get the most, and you're doing them all over, that you're tired of answering?
The one question I'm the most tired of answering, that's a really good question, actually, that makes me think, is how people group it all together, right? Like, skateboard, snowboard, like, it's this thing. It's like, the difference is football. Snowboarding's football, skateboarding's hockey, you know. BMX is lacrosse, Moto X is, you know, lawn bowling, for lack of a better term. But you know what I'm saying? They're very, very different. And when you dive into it, you see these personalities. You see what countries are talented at what. It was funny when you were talking to Ray about Mexican and European CFLers. You know, that's just like, you know, a southern hemisphere country. They have a lot of snow and they still do it. But there's really no pro snowboarders from southern hemisphere countries like a Chile or an Argentina or something like that. So there's so unique, the sports, you know, and the more you dive into it, you find those uniquenesses.
What's the one extreme sport or the one sport that you kind of wish you had done or that you'd like to do more of? I remember when I was watching, when it was first really coming in and starting to be on mainstream television and stuff, I always thought the street luge where they're on their back, right? And I always thought that would be the most fun to do of all the sports.
The one where they're like going down the mountain with like full leather and
exactly, you and they're off, leaning, and exactly.
Your skin. That's the most fun for you?
Well, I just thought that would be so cool. So I went out to the street and I'm like, you know, get on the wagon or the skateboard where they lay down. It's not the same.
No.
It only goes for about 20 seconds, but I always thought that would be fun.
I think I would step away from that. I respect that answer. For me, it was skateboarding because we wakeboarded and we did all this kind of stuff at the cabin. And skateboarding is of all the action sports. You know, I'm going to check my answer right now. I'm sorry. Sorry to the listeners. I'm going to change it. I'm not a liar. Surfing. we're so far away from the ocean. And when you do start to learn how to surf and you get it and you do it a little bit, you realize how insanely difficult it is. And it's the thing, it's the 10,000 hour rule plus five. You know, you need to do it for 15,000 hours because not only do you have to be good, you have to understand your terrain. You know, snowboarding, you have to understand read terrain, all that kind of stuff, but the terrain isn't changing instantly, you know. Surfing was the wildest one, so I'm really ecstatic. That's in the Olympics in 2020, Tokyo.
Oh, good.
So that'll be fun. I'm hopefully going to be calling that, maybe.
It's funny that you guys must have some sort of daredevil gene in you, because I've spent considerable time on the coast, and I watch the surfers, like I'm standing there 50 feet from them going, I don't even want to try that. That looks so hard.
It is. It's insane, especially the power that the ocean has. Like once you stand there and you can hear, like you're kilometers, miles away from the ocean and you can hear the waves crashing, you're like, I don't want to be under there right now.
Maybe I'm just getting old because, you know, bull riding, steer riding, you'd see people do that. Why am I tried that?
Yeah, but we,
you know, but I'm old now. Maybe when I was your age, I would want to do these daredevil things. I just don't want to do it anymore.
We stand 10 feet, 20 feet off the shore and a little wave takes us down. We come up with sand in our hair and stuff.
Say,
imagine being in the 10, 12, you know, 15 footers.
It's gnarly surf.
So they still say gnarly? Is that a thing in your world?
You know what? I try to expand my vocabulary every day. So, you know,
gnarly's
new. If the language isn't changing, it's dead, right?
Fast Times at Ridgemont High is where I first heard that. I didn't realize they were still using it. Great movie, by the way. Some questions here from our Facebook feed. A lot. From Dan Heimbecker. What's it like watching and commentating when your brother is competing in the Olympics?
That's a good question. Thank you, Dan. It's easy. Because I just go into this zone where I'm extremely analytical and responding to my color guy, right? So I'm the analyst, we got the color, and we're just bouncing back and forth. It's similar to you. Like, I feel when you're calling games, when you were calling games, you kind of hone in, you know? You're just like in this tunnel, and the names matter, and you know everything that they've done, and it's way easier to call Mark because I know everything about him, but you don't. There is, in your stomach, you're kind of feeling, I want you to do well, but it would never come through my voice. It was never a challenge. Like, I never had to check myself. So, I mean, it's not hard to be unbiased because it's just snowboarding. I love snowboarding. I love talking about it.
Well, not to mention, you're not judging. You're broadcasting.
True.
That would be
true.
Different.
Yes.
Right?
True.
That's a really good point. The other thing about your brother with the incident, how tough was that for your family to go through? And how close were you to losing him? Were you close to losing him?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. There was like a medevac flight that was, it was very close. Like as close as you can probably be. Just so much internal bleeding and collapsed lungs and all that kind of stuff. With that much trauma, you know, your body can fight one thing, but it can't fight them all at the same time. So that was very, very close. For the family, it was hard. But, I mean, I compound fractured my leg and had to get helied out of the backcountry. He snapped his femur in LA and had to get that fixed right away. Like, injuries are part of it. You're going to get hurt. That's just the simple fact of it. To that magnitude, hopefully nobody has to go through that. So I think there was a little bit of training for us. We realized the process. It was just scary, you know, just scary. But once you're on the other side of it, I mean, you're stronger, you know, you're more educated about how your body works and all that kind of stuff. And you just weigh a little bit more because you got a lot of metal in you.
You sound like bull riders a little bit. Now, do you guys have a kinship with other extreme sports? Because when we went out to the PBR a month ago, it was early June in Moose Jaw. They're like, Rod, thanks for coming out here. We don't get any coverage. And blah, 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 and it's kind of similar to you guys. Is there a kinship from sport to sport?
I think so. I love the rodeo more than anything. I was maybe going to go to Calgary Stampede to catch it today, but had Don's birthday, obviously. Not going to bail.
Right.
And the Rod Peterson show.
And the Rod Peterson show, obviously. So I love the rodeo so much. Grew up
That's great.
The rodeo, you know, milestone and all those kind of things. We were always on the sheep running around. And I feel like those guys don't get enough coverage because it jumps back to that question is there's just people aren't educated on the sport. You know, once you dive into it, there's so many intricacies and there's so many cool athletes and there's so many names that you can get behind. So I feel like there's a real kinship between maybe snowboarding in Saskatchewan and rodeo in provinces where it's not as big.
Yeah, for sure. What else do you have for Craig before we let him roll and get out to Echo Lake for Donnie Mac's birthday?
You talked about being on the water. You know, when you get a chance to come back, this is kind of getting away from everything, right? So what's kind of on your to-do list when you get back to Saskatchewan?
See all the boys, see the family, get on the boat. because we spent so many hours on that boat. My dad was telling me we've gone through two wakeboard boats in our career or whatever, and those were huge purchases for our family, huge investments. So we wanted to like get out there as much as possible. So when we come back, get on the boat, go for a wakeboard, go for a wake surf, go for a water ski, and then maybe cap it off with a barefoot. We'll see.
Where is your full-time home?
Whistler, British Columbia. I've been traveling so much, so I'm not there that often. I think I've got like maybe a week in total in the past 2 months, but I love it there. Best place to go home and one of the best mountains in the world.
We have a question here. I think this is from Clark. Is this your question, Clark? Yeah. What is it like from a broadcaster's perspective at the Olympics versus an athlete's perspective? Because you've done both.
Good question, Clark. It's so extremely different. Just the amount of like freedom you have as a broadcaster as opposed to an athlete. As an athlete, you're in the athlete's village, you're in a bus to the event, and then when you're done, you're free, right? But you're kind of just not, for lack of a better term, you're in jail. You know, you're in jail until you finish, then you can go do whatever. As a broadcaster, you have responsibility and you're doing all this kind of work, but you're free to, you know, just walk outside of your compound and go do whatever you want around the town. Like in Rio de Janeiro, for the 2016 summer games, we were way out in the boonies. That's where they had us. And we would just like walk around and do whatever where the athletes could not leave the athlete village. So I think that's probably the biggest difference. And you're probably not as nervous because you don't have to compete in the Olympics. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Absolutely. Craig McMorris, keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you,
keep
Ron.
Making us proud.
Thank you.
Say hi to your dad because he was a huge influence in my youth, and that's a compliment.
I got to ask you one question, sorry, before we go.
Please do.
As a driver's ed instructor, how was he? Did you get your license first try, too?
Took three.
Three tries.
And I will not name the town because your dad used to go to all these little towns to do the driver's ed. And he said, well, I just came from this town. And I found out they can't do driver's ed and sex ed on the same day in that town. We said, why? He said, they only got one car.
That is awesome.
And I one day I said on the radio what town that was, and I just got lambasted for bringing that up. So in the break, I'll tell you what town it was. It was Rolo. No, it wasn't. It wasn't Rolo. That's Lynch's hometown. That's why I yelled it.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Employee pricing is back.
These are all pre-owned vehicles. They all have an employee price. You pay what we pay.
Check out this loaded GM-certified pre-owned 2018 Chevy Equinox. It's employee priced at just $22,998 plus tax. Or get into a GM-certified pre-owned fully loaded Cadillac CTS Luxury. It's employee priced at just $35,915 plus tax.
Employee pricing at Capital GMC.
You pay what we pay!
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people, just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at urinsurable.ca.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now back to your host, Rod Peterson.
All right, in for Rod Peterson, I'm Darren DuPont alongside producer Clark here in the bunker for the Rod Peterson Show. Best of the RP show today. We've talked about the pimps and horse. We've talked about donuts.
Sex ed.
Sex ed with Craig McMorris. That was fun.
It's about to get a whole lot crazier.
Yeah. I don't even know how we're going to introduce this next one, but it's going to be interesting. First, let's take care of some business. The Prairie Mobile text line is open, 306-840-8777. You just need to put this in your phone. Go to contacts, add new, and type in RP Show, Prairie Mobile text line as the name. 306-840-8777. If you're watching on Facebook Live, it is up on the screen. If you are listening at rodpeterson.com or on the Best of the Week show here on LTD Radio, welcome to our listeners on LTD Radio. Thanks for having us, Joe. We'd love to be on the show. You can text the show. We want to fill the text line for Rod when he gets back in from holidays on Tuesday, tomorrow. So that's exciting. So fill the text line. We are going to have more of the best clips from the first 45 episodes here on the Rod Peterson Show. So that's exciting. And I know coming up, we're going to have a couple of segments from the very, very entertaining Rod's Rant from Bronco Plumbing and Heating. So that's coming up a little bit later on. So really looking forward to that. But Ben Heber, world champion, Canadian champion, curler, all-around great guy. He was fired up to be in the studio. Jordan, you got that sensor button, the bleep ready, because I know he got a little carried away, Clark. Yeah. It was fun.
And Ben was interesting because he actually reached out to us before the show started. That's how much he wanted to be on the show. He texted Rod before the show even started. He's like, I got to bring the tankard in. So we got him in. I think it was the second week of the show. He came in, plopped the trophy right on the middle of the table, and let it fly. I'll just let it be from there.
That's as good of an intro as I could do. So, producer Jordan, let it fly.
New things are happening. And our good and longtime friend, Benny Hebert, joins us from the Kevin Cooey Curling Rink, Canadian champions. He has brought the tankard in with him, Benny. And first of all, I want to say thanks for doing that and appreciate you being part of this show. We lined this interview up before we even knew what the show was going to be.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
It's awesome. I mean, done a lot of stuff with you in the past, and you know, a bunch of Q&A's have been around town. And when I saw this come up, you know, I've never actually brought in four times that I've won the Canadian Championship, I've never got to bring the tanker to Regina. You know, with being in Alberta, it kind of goes there a lot these days for our sponsor things and things we do. And so I spoke this morning at a little work event, and then so I thought, you know what, I'd love to bring it home for both and get it on the show. And yeah, it's nice to have here. I did a little tour with my dad, my uncles, my cousins, my brother. We went out and hit a couple old spots, took it to my high school, so it was fun to have. And special trophy, so glad we could bring it here.
Well, June 13 really snuck up on us because it was like a couple weeks ago. You're like, I'm in Regina, June 13th, let's do it, and here we are. Now, you mentioned the bar tour. Wow. That doesn't look real easy to drink out of, but I'm sure Reginans found a way.
We filled her up. Yeah, we were playing some little gambling bets on how many pints we think we could fit in there. What do you guys think? I know the answer now.
Nine.
Eight pints. We went to Leopold's.
You're talking to. I would know.
We went to the North End Leopold's right across from Riffle where I went to school and took it in there with a bunch of my high school buddies. We filled it up. We had 8 pints in there. We had a few sips. We had some good laughs. It was a lot of fun.
You must have needed a crane to like pick it up and like drink it.
Oh, my brother, he's excited when I get to bring that. He just hauled it around like it was his. He had a great little night. So it was
Rems,
a lot of fun.
I don't think the viewers, and of course we're on online audio only, I don't think they understand how big this thing actually is. I'm not sure it's coming through on the screen.
Meat, that's huge.
Yeah, it's big. I was saying, geez, it was going to be real nice to bring a big trophy on here until Bozak and Shortsy won the cup last night. Like, you dirty dogs. So, you know, that's pretty special, though, too. You're watching that game last night. And I know Tyler, obviously, from doing a bunch of charity events here in town. And, you know, great guy. And I hope that they can bring that one in here. But, you know, this is my Stanley Cup, and this is the best I can. I'm probably not going to win one of those. So this is the best for me. And, you know, pleasure to have it here in Regina.
Something that caught my eye here.
The Richardsons.
As we're sitting here, the Ernie Richardson rink right there is the first one I saw. Kind of puts a lump in my throat. I've got to know Mr. Richardson, Ernie, over the last few years. He's our landlord over at my business. And just, is there a nicer human being in the world than that guy?
No, there isn't, man. He's a legend, an icon in our sport. And, you know, he always gives me the time of day. His brother, Sam, you know, really good friends with my grandpa growing up, too. I used to have beers with him. And Mel Perry, I see on there all the time. And special trophy. You know, it's 93 years old. It's got a lot of history in that baby. So to be on there with those guys, pretty cool.
Well, you know what? You're going to whatever Hall of Fames there are. For sure, the Saskatchewan Sports Hall of Fame, the Canadian Curling Hall of Fame. But I love asking the hockey guys this. Olympic gold or Stanley Cup? I could ask you the exact same thing. Olympic gold or Tankard? Yeah. You want them both. What means more?
Yeah, I think I'm going to get myself in trouble. You know, curling these days trending so much towards the Olympics that that's kind of what everybody focuses on. But as a kid for me growing up, like, I'm 36 now. I was kind of getting into curling with my dad and things and before the Olympics was kind of alive in curling. And I remember practicing, being out there saying, you know, I'll draw the button to win the Brier. You know, double run back to win the Brier. And so the Brier to me, I mean, I've won them both. You win the Stanley Cup, you win the Olympics, I mean, you don't get any more excited or more high than winning that, right? It's the one feeling, you know, elation that you get. I like the Brier just because of the history. I love it. Canadian Championship is the big one. But Olympics, I think, is honestly just more special because it's every 4 years. It's tougher to get to. It's not any easier to win the Brier than it is win the Olympics.
Plus, you won in Canada.
That was special. You know, that was pretty neat. But, you know, I lost in Olympics too, right? It was brutal feeling.
Ooh, so I remember
yeah,
that too.
Oh, just you? That's good. But, I mean, like... There's lots, right? I mean, you go out there. I've played in 10 Briars and won 4. Played in 2 Olympics and won 1. So they're both deadly, and you know they're both amazing. But I don't really know which one I'd pick.
You know, it's funny though. Such a decorated career. You got a long ways to go. Where are you finding motivation aside from a paycheck? You've won it all already. What's driving you these days?
I just had this chat the other day with my dad. I'm like, I don't really like, I don't care about this stuff right now. I don't. Mentally, like, someone said, what does it feel like to be on there? I'm like, I can't wait to be on there next year. Like, I want to win, man. Like, I just love winning. I like beating people. I love being the dog. I'm an alpha dog. Like, I want to win. And being on those teams of guys of winning, like, I'm just a crazy winner. Like, I think when I look back and I'm done and we're older and I'm having a beer with John Morris, Mark Kennedy, Kevin Cooey about all the things we won and good times we had on the road and having beers and doing whatever. I mean, that's going to be great. I look forward to those days. I'm just not mentally there yet to even, cause like I was in the gym this week all week at level 10.
I can tell.
Back. You know, I was home for 2 days. I'm like, can't wait to go see my trainers at level 10. Cranked for 2 days. I'm getting ready for next season and this stuff's sweet. I mean, hey, celebrate your victories. I was out with my family having a good time having some beers, but I want to win next year. I want to keep it going. So
you're just kind of taking me exactly where I wanted to go with that, with the next question. So maybe this is my perception, but I'd be curious to get your thoughts. When I was a kid watching curling, I don't remember the lead and the second being jacked up and in incredible shape. Now, maybe that's just more impressionable now that I'm an adult, but it seems like in the last, 10 years that, like, especially for the lead and the second that do a lot of the sweeping and the heavy lifting, that you guys are in phenomenal shape.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly in a lot better shape now than I was in my early part of it when you talk about that. I mean, I quit my full-time job and stuff to come home to train. Trained with Ryan Anderson here for a couple summers and Steve Wilson at level 10 full-time. Kind of did that as my gig. Unfortunately, then I got married and had kids, couldn't afford to just swing it with the curling, so I had to go back to work. But, you know, even in Calgary, I worked out at a gym called Crash Conditioning for 3 summers with Jordan Eberle, Thomas Hickey, Zach Boychuk, Mike Green, like some real good guys. I mean, you find some motivation real quick when you're working out. I worked out with Keon Raymond at the gym. That was fun. Try doing sprints with that guy. I mean, you know, there's things you got to do. I mean, curling's changed a little bit. It did change. I mean, I certainly was never in as good a shape as I am probably now. But you have to. Everyone does it. I think it's the same as any sport. It's like, everybody works out. Everybody works hard. People are mentally tough. They got good coaching. They got nutritionists. Those are all just things you got to do to have a chance. If you're missing those things, good luck. Because talent, I mean, the talents can take you over the top if you're doing all the little things. I just find if you're not doing that stuff these days, and there's been years that I haven't done it. And, you know, I found my game kind of slips a little bit. But now it's, I feel like I work harder now because I have to. As you get older, you know, I was the benchmark for years as a sweeper. You know, I was a big guy. I was strong. I worked out. I made a ton of shots. And I mean, whether it's cocky or not, I don't really give a shit, but I still think I'm the benchmark for sweeping. And I don't want to lose that. As soon as you lose that and guys start passing you, you know, that's probably my time. But I mean, I just won the Canadian Championship again. You know, I had a great season, and I continue to try to work hard. I mean, that's what motivates me, is I like being there.
Okay, good.
I mean, I like being there. I got some buddies that have retired NHL hockey players, curlers. Are like, man, real work sucks. I'm like, dude, I want to curl as long as I good. Can. So that's where I'm at.
That's a good answer. And I called him one time on the air. I called you the Tiger Woods of curling, and you didn't have a problem with it. Wow. I think you actually – well, I think it was right
his
when
wife his, didn't like
his
it.
Wife no. put a golf no. club through his windshield around yeah, that time. Yeah. That's why – was you took maybe took it as a swear word, but I do remember you saying, I don't care if people don't like me because of my attitude, because I got enough friends. I think that was the quote.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, curling's changed too. Like the gentleman sports game of this and that, not making any money and not making a career out of it, it's changed. I mean, we have a huge following now, and you know, with social media, for better or worse, whichever way you want to put it, you know, we're icons in these small rural, like Saskatchewan, Alberta, Manitoba, rural. You know, I'm like Darian Durant used to be around here when you walk into those places, right? I mean, there's certain spots, obviously, currently doesn't matter. You know, the big NHL cities, you know, that's the Raptors, Toronto, there's a lot of action there. But, you know, you got to, it's not shake your hands and drink with your opponents all the time these days. Guys are working hard. There's money to be won, trophies, world championships, Olympic Games, there's things out there. I got a wife and kids to support. I mean, yeah, I do have a lot of buddies. And it doesn't matter who you are. You're the nicest guy in the world, someone doesn't like you. You know, and you can't please everybody. So, you know, I compete as an athlete. Like, I played junior football here in Regina. I played provincial lacrosse, baseball. I wouldn't say I come from a curling background, even though, you know, my family did curl growing up. But I have that athlete mentality. And when I first got into the curling scene of, you know, smashed a couple of brooms and kicking rocks, it maybe wasn't taken, you know. But I've been working with my
sports
psych. You
learned from your Uncle Dave.
Yeah, Uncle Dave, Grandpa Dave. I wouldn't say, this is what I say, I'm not perfect, but I'm getting better, you know, trying to critique it. But I don't want to lose that edge either. You know, you want to keep that, right? And my coach always talked to me about perspective and all this nonsense he makes up to make it okay to lose. I'm like, I like having perspective, but I like having the perfect amount of perspective. I don't want to go too far the other way, because as soon as it's okay to lose, I am gonzo.
Yeah, well, we're going to be doing a ton of curling coverage and talk on this show. And by the way, Braden Muskoe, as soon as he saw you were on here, he's like, I want on here. Michelle Englund's coming on next week. She's got a new team. You probably heard all her news. Oh, yeah. So there's a lot of curling talk that we're going to be discussing. But you say you didn't come from a curling background. Well, you've played all sports, and you said you're following the Riders because of John Ryan more than anything. So, well, maybe you should get into that.
Well, I shouldn't say that. I just, you know, just a little bit disconnected. Obviously, I'm a big Rider fan. I was a season ticket holder here for 15 years. Even when I moved to Calgary, I kept my seats for a few seasons, tried to make it back for a game. But, you know, everything else happens, you know, wife, kids, life, job. I haven't been able to make it home. And I follow, obviously, watch as much as I can on TV. But I played lacrosse against John for a few years and kept in touch with him when he was down in Seattle. And I just, you know, he's one of the best athletes I think Regina's ever seen. You know, he was an amazing lacrosse player. I remember him playing high school football as a running back, you know, university playing as a receiver. He was such a stud. And then you see these guys, you know, and he makes it as a punter. You know, obviously I didn't make the NFL and I'm, you know, a millionaire, all that jazz, but I was good at a lot of other sports that I played, and I ended up kind of making it in curling, which is, you know,
it's about the same as the NFL.
Yeah, close, just a zero. We're probably short a zero or two, maybe, but yeah. It's all good. I mean, I think that's great. I mean, for him to come home and finish his season here, you know, maybe try to win a Grey Cup or two with Regina. I mean, even for me, I'm a Saskatchewan boy through and through. I love this province, and, you know, I owe a lot to the province for being here. And I went to Alberta for this opportunity, you know, taken the ball and run with it, and I've done really well. I've had great success, but, you know, you never know what the future holds. And if my team with Kevin Cooley after this next Olympic run, if something came up back home, you know, I'm always open to maybe coming back home and trying to get another gram. I always get jealous at the Briar. Like, I'm slowly transitioning to Alberta guy, but I don't want to lose my Sasky edge. So I you know, see the Saskatchewan, you know, the green and yellow Briar jerseys. I'm like, I'd love to get one of those again. Right.
Then come curl here.
Well, no, I'm not good enough. I'm a lead. I'm a role player, right? I'm a third line grinder. I'm a power play specialist. It's
time to step up, maybe.
So yeah, penalty killer. So I'm on a team with great players, and, you know, if something transitioned to Saskatchewan where I could be a part of that, I'd maybe consider it. But right now I got such a good thing going in Alberta, and, you know, great teammates and a good team. It's, you're not going to walk away from that.
Well, you're a part of a crop,
a generation of outstanding Saskatchewan athletes that we're all so proud of. You mentioned your good buddy Eberle, who lives in Calgary in the offseason, right? Yeah. You know, Brett Jones from Weyburn starring with the Vikings, and Graham Dillette still doing some things. So we're all proud to call you a good Sasky boy, too. But how do you deal with the anti-Saskatchewan sentiment of Calgarians? Because I live there. I went to college there. Dude, it's hard.
It's mostly just the football. Like, I don't get it a
really?
Lot. Yeah, I mean, half the people I work with in Saskatchewan or from Calgary are from Saskatchewan.
Right.
So when you start getting into stamps, riders, I feel a little bit of the hatred or whatever it is. But, you know, real life stuff, I mean, I work in oil and gas, and Alberta's transitioned to Saskatchewan, and they're kind of coming together, a little bit of family here. I don't find it too bad. You know, I find it, you know, it's worse. I'm from Regina, you know, growing up cheering for the Oilers. I grew up in the 80s. You know, I love Gretzky. Love that story. Didn't really have a team. I cheered for the Pats. The Pats were my team, right? Louis Dumont, like those guys. Those were my team, you know? Russ Gronick. Remember Russ Gronick, the fighter?
Absolutely, yeah.
He was buddies with one of my cousins, so I remember cheering for him. Like, my buddy Jordan.
He works at the Brand Center now.
You know, Garth Murray, I played hockey with my whole life. You know, he's right. Cheered for the Pats. That was my team. So, moving up there to Calgary, I host. I do some client stuff. You go to Flames games, and everyone in Calgary hates the Oilers. Oilers hate the Flames. Like, who do you cheer for? I'm like, kind of like both. I like both teams. Hope they both
And they're like,
well.
How can you do that?
Yeah, I'm a traitor, and I'm like, you got. I'm a hockey fan. Like, I like watching good hockey. They're both.
No, you got to pick one.
Yeah,
they're saying.
You know, yeah. So I don't find the Saskatchewan Calgary hate too much. I mean, maybe it's out there. I know it's alive and well when, you know, me and Ebs have gone to a couple Stamps games in Calgary in our rider gear, and you know, you get heckled a bit. But I mean, those games are half rider fans, anyways.
Yeah,
I don't go to any other Stamps games. Oops. So there you go.
You know, real quick story. I was visiting my uncle in Edmonton, and I had my rider jersey on because I was going to the game that night. This is about 2 years ago. Neighbor across the street at my uncle's cul-de-sac in Edmonton yells, "Riders suck!" And I didn't think too much about it. I just kind of gave him a thumbs up. But then about 18 seconds later, another guy comes out and he goes, "Go, Riders, go! Go, Riders, go!" And I realized that they're having fun with it, though. Like, it's not
well,
like...
Well, some do.
Yeah, but I mean, half yeah. the... You're right. I agree with what you're saying. There's probably an honest 30 to 40% of people that live in those two cities probably are from Saskatchewan.
Don't they say, Benny, it's a third of Calgary's Saskatchewan roots?
Seems
Have you
like
heard
it's
that?
A lot. I mean, everywhere yeah. you go, oh, where are you from? I'm from Saskatchewan. Oh, me too. Oh, I grew up there. My parents grew up there. And yeah, it's a pretty, you know, a lot of people now. I mean, I've lived there for 8 years. I mean, I have a career there, curling there. Like, I would much prefer Regina. Sorry to all my Calgarian peeps, but I love the small town. I like people. Like, last night, I'm staying at the Sask Hotel, drive to play men's night at the Royal Regina, 6 minutes away. Back to my hotel, change Vicks, cross street. Like, you don't get to do that in Calgary. You got to plan something in Calgary. It's got to be a 3 week planned vacation
to drive, yeah.
to go somewhere and then have a babysitter and an Uber. It's just like, it's just so easy here.
Yeah.
You know, people don't get that. The big city hustle bustle. I mean, hey, I live that life. That's not me.
Toronto's even worse than that.
Oh, yeah. I've been there a million times for curling. So I like Regina. I like the city, the size. And they could maybe work on the construction right now. But other than that, we're doing okay.
Well, there's no snow, so we got to build the roads when there's no snow.
Yeah, there you
One
go.
In 10 of our viewers of this show is from Alberta, by the way, and Calgary area specifically. So I don't know if that's Saskatchewan people that, or if they're Stamps fans
all
that are dying for...
It is.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Yeah, all my Stamps friends.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
two of them.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is. We have a heavy Alberta contingent there, but it's funny because this morning I was jumping into my car outside the studio here and it says your drive home is 15 minutes and I broke out laughing. I'm like, from anywhere it would say 15 minutes. Anywhere. Even this is the furthest point. I live on Gordon Road, Meat.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
think not, where we are.
Oh, it is though. It's 15 minutes.
To anywhere.
It's perfect.
So it is perfect, yeah. So just before we let you go, Benny Hebert, a shot on when your season starts. What's coming up for the Cooey team and what's up between now and then for you?
Yeah, I mean, well, no ice. We got no ice in the summer, which is great. So we get a nice little break, heal up a little bit, some injuries and stuff, and just get back in the gym, train. A lot of sponsor stuff this summer to take care of. We know we got this baby, this tank that we're going to haul around and
Good
do
for
a bunch
you.
Of events. We're shooting a commercial on Monday with Canadian Beef out on some farm in Didsbury. We're going to do some stuff with the farm. We got some stuff with ATB Financial. We're doing UFA, Caltech Surveys, all our sponsors. We got a bunch of stuff going on. Get ready for the season. Season's long now these days. It's not a short little Friday to Monday stints. We don't have any more, right? Or 6-7 day events. And we start up in September. same thing, just like the golf tour, right? There's a whole bunch of events. You pick and choose which ones you want to go to. And then we don't have to play provincials next year. We're Team Canada, so we get to go straight back to the Brier, which is a beautiful thing. So we got a nice,
nice amendment there.
Yeah. So we got a nice little February off just to kind of prep and get ready. I mean, that's the big one next year. Olympic trials points starts again next year, which is crazy to think about that already. But I mean, our goal is going to be to get our hands back on this baby and defend as Team Canada. And that's in Kingston, Ontario, home of the Hip.
And a lot of things. Right? And Don Cherry and Doug Gilmore and Rob Bagg and a lot of guys.
So that's it for me. Maybe get caught up on my rider chat. See if I can name five of the guys for the next time I come in here.
Just watch the game tonight.
Yeah, well, the Raptors are on tonight.
Yeah, that too.
I saw your poll. Yeah. I'm Raptors tonight.
You're more excited for the Raptors? Oh, yeah. A lot of people
me,
are.
Me too.
Benny, keep making us proud as you are, and I'm glad the fire still burns. And thanks for bringing the trophy in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, Benny Hebert, our own.
Lots of fun with Ben Hebert here in the bunker. And yeah, it brought the tankard in. That thing is very, very impressive. And so was Ben. What a great dude. We had a great chat after that, too. So smart, smart guy, too. So you're welcome anytime. We want to see you back in here, Benny, into the bunker here on the RP show. But that's going to do it. Hour one is in the books here on the holiday. Rod Peterson away. I'm Darren DuPont, but we are going to have plenty of Rod still to come as we continue to recap the best segments of the RP show through 45 episodes. Are we missing your favorite segment? Let us know in the comments section and flood the Prairie Mobile text line 306-840-8777. That's a direct line to Rod, not this phone, but to Rod. He will see them all on Tuesday morning when he comes back in tomorrow morning. So 306-840-8777. What else do I got? We've got more to come. Another hour here of the best of the RP show, but this is the end of the Best of the Week show on LTD Radio. So thanks for listening. If you want the other hour, well, you got to find us on Facebook Live, Facebook.com/The Rod Peterson Show, or you can find the podcast everywhere. Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, CastBox, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and at rodpeterson.com. So see you, LTD. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you for hour two here on The Rod Peterson Show.
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Employer pricing is back.
It is the best time to buy right now.
You pay what we pay.
It's like you work here,
but you don't have to work here.
Check out this brand new 2019 GMC Sierra AT4 Double Cab. Its employee price is just $62.77 plus tax. That's just $219 weekly with zero down. Plus, employee pricing means savings up to $12,000 on new inventory. Or take advantage of 0% financing over 84 months.
You pay what we pay!
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.